So today we're going to really continue what we started yesterday. And I'll just give everybody a quick refresher. We were talking about chambers in the Beis HaMikdash. And the question was, if the chamber is outside the area of the Azara, which is the Beit HaMikdash courtyard, the question is that sacred, holy, or is it already beyond the pale, beyond the scrimmage? So, go to our drawing back over here. This is the Azara. The Azara is holy, sacred ground. What if we have a building which is built on, like these are, on the outside? So it's outside the line of scrimmage. Sacred or not? Yes, it was yesterday's discussion. It had a lot to do with the entrance and exit, right? The doorways. So today we're going to talk about some really spooky stuff, Indiana Jones. HaMechilos. Mechilos could be translated in a variety of ways. Simply stated, we'll make them tunnels. Tunnels. The mountain was full of tunnels. So the question then is, the mountain tunnels, are they holy or not? Because I mean, after all, it's not really in the Azara. So it may be beneath the Azara, maybe 10 feet, maybe 20 feet, but it's underneath in the mountain. So what do we do? And then you look at the surface, all you saw was a beautiful Beit HaMikdash. That doesn't mean there weren't tunnels crisscrossing underneath the mountain. In fact, we know with certainty that there were tunnels, and I'll talk to you about those tunnels in a moment. But the question is, what is the halacha? The Rambam says something very interesting. Hapsuches la'azara, the ones that opened up into the actual courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash, kodesh. Now this is an unqualified way. If you'll remember, earlier he said, the ones that are psuches, that the benuyas lachar la psuches, he said if they're open to the azara, they're holy for what purpose? For the purpose of eating the sacred food. He said they were kodesh la'achilat kodesh kodashim. They're considered holy for the purpose of eating special food that has to be eaten in a holy place. Mm-hmm. Temple tea. Talked about that yesterday. Mm-hmm. But now it doesn't say that. The Rambam doesn't give us, he gives us an unqualified way. He says, bechilot, tunnels, if they open into the Azara, kodesh. Hapsuchot lahar habayit, the ones whose opening is in the mountain. So you came out maybe in some area around the mountain, but not actually opening up into the Azara. Well, in that case, chol. So the mountain it's called Har HaKodesh, it's called the Holy Mountain, but that's euphemistic. The notion of the mountain actually being sacred and holy is specific and unique to the area of the Mikdash. And specifically, as we've learned, the front area of the Beit HaMikdash, known as Ezrat Nashim, does not qualify as holiness, rather only this area, which is the actual Azara, Ezrat Kohanim and Ezrat Yisrael, that's the actual area of holiness. So if we have these tunnels, we're going to have a situation on our hands. Now, here's the big question. The big question is, which tunnels are we talking about? I know what you're thinking. What do you mean? Tunnels are tunnels. No, tunnels are not tunnels. Because the Beit HaMikdash was built in a manner that we had to have these empty chambers, three layers of them, underneath the Beit HaMikdash. And the reason is that if there is ritual impurity, which is called ratzutz, which means it's kind of squashed in the ground, then the halacha is that ritual impurity makes its way up. Now, we know that in ancient times, if there was a site that was revered, then it would be used as a burial grounds, which means that it is eminently possible that people knew that this mountain was holy. After all, this is the place where Noah was purported to have brought offerings. Noah's son, Shem, must have known that. Mm-hmm. This is the place where Avraham Avinu brought the Akedah. This is the place where Yitzchak prayed and met his wife. This is the place where Yaakov has the extraordinary prophecy of Ufaratza, right? His maiden vision of the ladder that's rooted in the ground, reaching into the highest heavens. So they must have known this is a holy place. And the Canaanites typically would take a holy place like that and they would bury their dead there. That would be a huge problem for us. Huge problem. And even if this wasn't the case, there was still the possibility. So what do you do? So the answer is that we can build chambers, and these chambers make an interruption between the ritual impurity and between whatever would be on top of that. So we actually had these like archways that were built, three layers of archways. And that created what we would call a separation for what might have been beneath in the mountain, so that the Beit HaMikdash itself would not be in a state of ritual impurity. Now, some of these areas could have been accessible. There could have been tunnels built in. Not only there could have been tunnels, we know as a matter of fact that there were tunnels. In the time of Yoshiyahu HaMelech, the fateful decision was made that the Beit HaMikdash, its days were numbered. It was a matter of time. We would fall. We don't want the Ark to be captured. Shlomo HaMelech built the Beit HaMikdash to begin with a chamber above ground, and he built it with a special designated chamber beneath the ground. How'd you get there? By means of a tunnel. The people who put the Ark in the tunnel, they all died. Nobody knew how to get there. It is said in the Talmud that during the time of the second Beit HaMikdash, one of the Kohanim noticed a flagstone that was somewhat off. He got very excited. He said, "This is the tunnel." He ran to call his colleagues, and Hashem made sure that he wasn't able to speak again. So nobody knows where this was. But that means that the tunnel would have opened up in... It would have opened up in the Azara. So what would the halacha be with that tunnel? It's holy. Now, that's a tunnel we know of. There could have been other tunnels. Now, mechilas, this is what we call the mechilas, which are underneath the floor of the actual Beit HaMikdash. Built up mechilas. Mechilas tunnels built, like that chamber that Shlomo HaMelech actually built. But what about natural tunnels? These are caves. Caves have tunnels. That's the nature of caves. All caves have tunnels. That's the reason Al-Qaeda was hiding in them. It's a no-brainer. You don't have to build a headquarters. They were like rats living in the tunnels. So what do you do there? And here it gets very interesting, because the Gemara has this discussion in Masechet Pesachim about a difference between tunnels which are man-made, which were built for a sacred purpose or for the purpose of using in the Beit HaMikdash, or maybe natural tunnels. So it seems that those might not have been made holy. And there's a whole discussion about this. But the Rambam here does not seem to draw distinctions. He says, if the tunnels were somehow co-opted and made a part of the Beit HaMikdash, if they opened into the Azara, Kodesh. Kodesh. If they opened up into Har HaBayit, then it wouldn't be Kodesh. Now, once we're talking about the hollow areas, we may have other hollows. Where could that be? Rambam says, no, Ove HaChoma, the thickness, the depth of the actual wall. And we can see the depth of the wall there. Here you can see a significant and an impressive wall. Here you can actually see the depth. There's a thickness, a diameter in the wall. So what happens if we have doorways over here? If you're in this doorway, are you in or are you out? If you're in the wall, so to speak. What if there's a window? If you're in the window, are you in part of the Beit HaMikdash or not? The same question actually could be discussed of, what if you're on top of the wall? Think of it this way. You're sitting up here. That must be an interesting place for the Kohanim to eat. Maybe climb up on the wall and have a little korban picnic. So what if you're sitting on the wall? Maybe the wall was about this thick. That's comfortable. You get yourself a little parapet over here. Would that work? This is the question. So the Rambam says that the hollow areas, meaning the inside of the chalonot and the inside of the choma, kilifnim. That is the same halacha as being actually inside the Azara. This is true, bein la'achilat kodesh kadoshim, bein l'tumah. Ah, Rambam just made a very important statement here, because yesterday we said it's kodesh for the purpose of eating, but if you're ritually impure and you penetrated that space, you actually didn't do anything wrong, because it's not really holy. Because it was just made holy, there's a special verse, a special pasuk that indicates that one could eat the kachem there, but it's not actually considered part of the Azara. So for purposes of ritual impurity, we said patur, you're going to be exempt from punishment, but it's not prohibited. It's not permitted. Patur aval asur. And we said the same thing is also true with regard to the notion of shechita, of slaughtering the korban over there, because the korban has to be done in the Azara, and we only have a pasuk permitting the consumption, nothing else. Rambam says, these areas, be they tunnels, natural or man-made, be they the depth of the walls or the inside of the doorways or the hollow of the window, Rambam says it's all holy. Whether la'achilas kodesh kadoshim, whether for the purpose of tumah. What's interesting here is he does not mention the shechita. Now, I think he doesn't mention the shechita is because you need to perform shechita in a proper way. And to take a goat and put him in the hollow of a door, or bring him up to the top of a wall, is not a normal way to shecht a goat. Or bring him down into a tunnel to shecht him. That doesn't work. So that wouldn't work. But if you were in a state of ritual impurity, that would be a violation of the holiness, and you can eat the kodesh kadoshim, so maybe some kohen didn't like to eat in public, they could slip into a tunnel, that's fine. Sit in the hollow of the window, sit on top of the wall, as long as you're within the actual scrimmage of the walls of the Azara, you're still within the area of holiness. And with this really, with this halacha, we conclude the study of the actual Beis Hamikdash compound and structure. As of tomorrow, we're going to start to learn about the halachot, the laws that govern the expansion of the temple.